are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Max and friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back, back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night edition of Max and Friends. We've got a great show for you tonight because we're going to be talking about Airstreams and egos. We're going from Airstreams to ashrams. We've got a wonderful author joining us tonight named Tom Shabram. He's fantastic. The book, his novel, Airstream. You all have to get it because it's something that's going to change your life. And speaking of changing your life, we have Swami Anjani, who's going to join us from Kashi Ashram. Namaste, everybody at Kashi Ashram. I'm sending you lots of love. Jai Ma! You remember we had Ma Jaya on the show? Well, we're going to talk about her book, The 11 Karmic Spaces, and we're going to talk about the ego and the self-ego and how to clean things up in our lives because it's time. But, you know, I think that it's time to play a song. And since we're going the Airstream route tonight with my fantastic author, Tom, we're going to play a song. But you know what? I want to talk to you first about life. What's going on, everyone? Tweet me at Max Tucci, won't you? Because it's time we all get along. I'm going to be here 6 years this year, and I'm just so excited. My 35th birthday is coming up, too. I'm going to Italy. This week, I'm in Boulder, Colorado right now, live from Boulder, Colorado. It's Max and Friends, but I'm going to be in Italy, and oh boy, there's just so much stuff going on. So I want you to follow me on Twitter, at Max Tucci. I want you to be a part of my life because I want to be a part of your life. So tweet me. How was your week? Tell me what's going on in your life. Let's be friends, all right? So yeah, as I said, I'm here in Boulder, Colorado, just enjoying the snow from Florida, traveling all over, and just taking life to the max. You know, I had a great like revelation that sometimes we just need to be still and to clear the mind of chatter and clutter and all that stuff. And there's no better way that I like to do that than sometimes to read or to meditate or to listen to music, because I think listening to music makes it makes life really great. So on that note, the song we're going to play for you is America's Song on Max and Friends. And before we go there, Nelson, thanks so much for being part of the Max and Friends family. Hit it, Ronan. America's Song on Max and Friends. And when we're back, Tom Shabram.
America, your America.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends, and that was America's Song, because we're talking about air streaming tonight. Tom Shabaram, my guest tonight, his new book, which refers to the icon of American travel, the Airstream Traveler, which conjures up dreams of escapes for many people. Well, that song, America's Song, was really something that I think gets us into the whole groove. And it's the Olympics, people. So are you rooting for America? Tweet me, at Max Tucci. Do y'all like Airstreaming? I think they're the coolest thing. I actually want to get one and put it out for my guest house here in Colorado. What do y'all think? Let me know. All right. Well, without further ado, let's welcome Tom to Max and Friends, because he is the author. He's a fantastic author, and he's also... this is the cool part, the 2010 Creek Walker Poetry Prize winner, because he's got some poetry too. So welcome, Tom, to Max and Friends.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad you're here because, you know, I just love Airstreams. And when I saw the cover of your book and I was like, oh, it's a novel too, it's got to be good. So tell us a little bit about your accomplishments, because you've been, you're like an award winner. You've got this great book. Tell us about it.
Well, I started out writing a book called The Palisades, and it ended up being a London literary finalist, and I had a lot of my writing sitting around for many years until I was around 50, and then I decided to put the work out there, and it's been amazing, the response I've had across the board, from my poetry to the writing. Another book of mine was listed as a top book of 2011 by Felice Vacano, so that was a nice kudo, and so I put Airstreaming out there, and I've got a lot of great response, particularly from the Airstreaming community.
Now, why Airstreaming?
Well, I started the book back in 1998. It started its life as a short story and then kind of morphed into a screenplay that did really well in a screenplay competition that was put on by DreamWorks and Universal Studios. And so anyway, it didn't quite win all the way, but it became a semifinalist. And so and then I was in a master's program at Bennington College in Vermont, and I just finished up my second novel and was looking at this screenplay was kind of screaming out to be a novel, and so the novel ended up being quite different from the screenplay, and more characters came in to focus. And I spent about 10 years writing it and finally finished it. And
awesome. Now, it's got some complicated characters in it, especially Jack. So let's get into the book. Let's get into Airstream. Tell us about Jack and Martha and why an Airstream is changing their life.
Well, Jack and Martha are, kind of starting into their middle age around the early 40s, and they have a child or want to have a child, and things happen with the child, and the main character, Linda, is brought into their lives, and when the child is not born or is born stillborn, Jack decides to go out and get an Airstream trailer to take his wife away from the problems and the
from
house.
From the pain, right?
Pain,
from the
exactly.
pain.
And gain some, perspective. And things don't quite go as Jack planned, but Jack is fascinated by the Airstream. And it's a vintage 1970 Overlander that he chooses. And so it's, which is actually what's on the cover of the book.
Now, do you have an Airstream?
I do. We bought an Airstream last year. It's a 2012 Flying Cloud 23FB, and we love it. We absolutely love it and met a lot of great people.
So now, for you buying the Airstream, what was the reason why you bought one?
Well, I'd always wanted one, and writing the book sort of cemented that as I had researched the Airstreams, and then a neighbor of mine, when I was living in Santa Barbara, was reconstructing one, revitalizing it to take his own family across the country for a couple of years in it. It kind of grabbed onto me, and so I've always wanted one. I think they're just extraordinarily well-built. They're truly an American icon, and in the last five or so years, they've really come back and been mm-hmm. redesigned and and also the vintage models have become very, very popular to buy.
Now, let me ask you a question. Being on the road with the Airstream, have you found anyone like Jack and Martha on the road?
No, not that I've talked to specifically. I don't really ask their deep personal issues and whatnot, but I've met a lot of really wonderful folks who have been on the road and who continue to live on the road in their Airstreams. And in fact, I just came back last week from an Airstream rally where I gave a reading to about, there were 100 Airstreams there and about 180 people. And everyone has their own story, and it's a really, really diverse group of people. Mm-hmm. From young people getting their vintage Airstreams and remodeling to older couples who, this is their life now.
Absolutely.
It's really, really interesting.
Now, these characters are so beautifully developed, and I want to just talk about them some more because there's a lot of people, go in life right now struggling who might have lost a child and, they really don't know what to do in life, or they're depressed and they're sad. And Jack and Martha get this Airstream and they kind of – and I love it here because I have a quote in front of me that says, "Everyone must choose what to leave behind." So what are they leaving behind and where are they going?
Well, for Claire, Linda and Claire, who are mother and daughter, Linda being the mother, they're leaving behind the loss of their father and husband. And Linda was very, very close to her father, and her father introduced her to jazz. And, of course, the novel takes place in Kansas City.
Yes, in Kansas City.
So I bring in the entire bebop jazz milieu as well as part of this. Linda absolutely loves it. And so for Linda, it's the idea of independence now. And for Claire, it's really about her trying to make it in the world because she's the only breadwinner now, and she really has to put Linda to work to help make ends meet, given that her father has passed away. And since he was blind, he had provided meager, income for the family as well. So as Linda goes to work for Jack and Martha, she must, choose how she wants to live her life, and she becomes increasingly distanced from her mother, and for a lot of different reasons, and so it really becomes a story about how Linda finds and discovers her independence.
Mm. Now, if this book, we're calling it a movie already, because I think it would be a great movie. If it were to become a movie, who would play Jack and who would play Martha, Linda, Claire? Who, in your head, who would you see on the big screen?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people. You know, I would love to see play Jack, but right now, I mean, I would love to have an enthusiast like Matthew McConaughey play play Jack, and he actually has an Airstream. But he would be perfect for Jack, or Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights, the movie or the TV series. He would be an absolutely extraordinary Jack. Martha, you know, that's a good question. It needs to have somebody who is very, very sensitive and you know, very, very edgy as well. And I can almost see a Sarah Silverman play, you know, a dramatic Sarah Silverman. And Linda, I think, would have to be someone who is unknown, because she is the, you know, she is the voice and the character that really tells, you know, brings us into the story, and she's our eyes and ears as we go through the novel. So. So it has to be someone that we can recognize and as ourselves. And so if you bring a big name to that person,
you lose it.
You would lose it. Yeah. And for Claire, I don't know, you know, Claire would be, you know, just, that would be a tough one to cast too. And I haven't really given much thought to who would play her, because, it would have to be someone who could really be angry, and yet we feel her pain, you know, and that's a really tough thing to sell. It's almost like a Kate Blanchett in Blue Jasmine, you know. So,
oh, this is a good cast. We got to get
exactly
this movie. Now, who would you want to produce it and direct?
Oh, I would love for like Richard LeGravinas to write the screenplay. Someone who's a very literate person and who understands character, or Tony Kushner. And then for to produce it, Harvey Weinstein would be great.
There you go, done.
but you know, because he understands literary, you know, this is a very literary book, but it's also very commercial as well, in terms of the people that I've talked to have read it in one day or one sitting and have been extremely moved by it. So
now, would you have an extra role in the movie with your Airstream?
I would hope so.
Write it in, right? Just write it in. But now, when I say the word Airstream, what does it mean to you? Because it means so many things to so many people. But to you, what does the word Airstream mean?
Airstreaming to me is a sense of freedom and a sense of independence. It's a sense of iconography that is very, very American. And there's a reason why I set the novel in the middle of the country in Kansas City, because I wanted it to be a very American place, and you know, and the very American idiom of jazz, and the thing, and the places like Union Station and train and transportation, all those things that are very, very iconic to the American experience. And I wanted to bring all those in and then tell the story of these four people who are connected by circumstances that are outside of themselves, that are, they are forced to confront. And so when I think of Airstreams, I think of that whole thing. And as a metaphor, you know, I gave a talk last week, and I gave a talk on metaphor and why the Airstream. And the Airstream is a very feminine kind of shape to it. And a lot of people, including myself, give names to their Airstreams. And 9 times out of 10, they're female names.
What's yours? What's the name of yours?
Our Airstream is named Margaret, after my grandmother. So
that's perfect.
Who I was very, very close to. So But, you know, I just somebody just contacted me today and told me that their Airstream is named Fiona.
Well, so I think it's great that yours is named Margaret, especially because then you kind of like you're taking your grandmother on the road with you. So she's not missing
your
life.
There's a picture of us together on the board inside the Airstream that goes everywhere with us. So, yeah,
that's super. So now what's next for you after this novel is out? It's ready to be bought. You can get it on. Where can people purchase it? Let us know.
Well, it's available on Amazon as a Kindle ebook or paperback. It's also available on Nook as an ebook, and so those are the two primary places. And they can also go to my website at www.tomshabarn.com and contact me, you know, directly as well. As for next, what's next for me? I'm Airstreaming leaves on sort of a point of departure, and so I'm trying to look at writing the sequel. In fact, I've got the first chapter of the sequel done, lots and lots of notes. But then I've got another project that has reared its head in the last couple of weeks that I'm very, very keen on working on as well. So, and I'm continuing to publish poetry as well. So.
Wonderful. Well, I look forward to reading more, and I would love to get a copy of the book signed to me if you don't mind.
Oh, no, not at all. Just let me know where to send it.
I will talk to you after the show, and I'll let you know. But, Tom, thank you so much for being here because you give me the inspiration. I really want to get an Airstream, man. I kind of want to just not really go on the road with it, but make it into a guest house. So, you know.
Well, they're wonderful at guest houses. I just helped a friend of mine pull one across Seattle and where we live, and he's doing the very same thing you're doing, you want to do, and converting it into a guest house.
I think it's fun. I have a friend of mine who has one too. So it's a great little club to be a part of, the Airstream Club.
Yes, it is.
Big
and
club.
It's a very, and it's almost, it borderlines on a cult. Believe me, it's lots of incredible people. And we've been to some incredible places up here in the Northwest and also in the West already. So we're looking forward to a great Airstreaming season coming up.
Wonderful. Well, if you come through Colorado, let me know and we'll meet up.
We just might.
All right, Tom. Well, thanks so much for joining me tonight on Max and Friends. The book, everyone, Airstream. You got to go get it because it's gonna really grab you in and make you want to discover America and also put on some jazz while you listen to it. Tom, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for having me on your program.
It's my pleasure. Have a great night.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night. So everyone, yeah, the book is good. Y'all got to get this copy. And, you know, I love having authors on. You know why I love having authors on? Because I love adding books to my library. I really do. And Airstreaming is the book, and I can't wait to add that to my shelf. And over the 6 years of Max and Friends, I have some great books, some really great books. And I love when they're signed to me because I think it's just fun because it connects me to the author. Speaking of great books, you know, there's one that I love called The 11 Karmic Spaces. It's a book that we all need in our life. It's something that will change our lives. I've read it. I read it all the time. It's by Madhyaya Sati Bhagavati, you know, from our beloved Kashi down in Florida. And The 11 Karmic Spaces, Choosing Freedom from the Patterns That Bind You. There's a foreword by Dr. Jean Houston. It's a great book because it really breaks those patterns that we have in our life. And, you know, patterns come in our life because of our past, and we're free from our past. But the patterns that come in our life are things that we've learned from our family. So it's not necessarily who we are, but it's what we absorbed through the years of life and being a child. And there's patterns in pathology. And what we take on, we kind of become, even though it's not who we are. We take on the patterns of others in our lives. So The 11 Karmic Spaces, Choosing Freedom from the Patterns That Bind You. You know, we've had Ma on. She's passed since, but she's always with us in spirit. So we're going to have, just in a moment, I love that Swami Anjani is joining us tonight because we're going to talk about Kashi. We're going to talk about what's going on at Kashi now, the change there since Ma's passing. And we're going to talk about the ego because y'all need to get this ego thing and get it out of your heads because we're going to talk about the self-thought and self-indulgence of the ego. On that note, y'all remember this poem by Madhyaya Sati Bhagavati, River. Ronan, play it.
Children play in my river. Sadhus stay by my river. Cities old by my river. Temples made of gold by my river. Cows stray all the day by my river. River, river, I am thirsty. River, river, I am yearning. I laugh with the children that swim in my river. And someday I will go back. Oh, my river, my mother. I must never forget you wherever I go. Oh, my mother, my gentle Gange, I yearn to play with the children in my river. Children, children everywhere, come play in my river. Children, children everywhere, watch the ash fall from my hair. This river shall never disappear. This river shall always be here. This river shall always be near. Ashes, ashes everywhere. This is a river of life and death. Who comes to her waters do not despair. River, river, I am yearning. River, river, I am burning. And now, my river, it is your story being told. For I am the poet of the river. And no matter how old I become, I will always be wild by my river. Children play, sadhus stay. Cities old, temples gold, cows stray. Men die, widows cry all the while. One with the giver, my mother, the river. And let all the pain go, all the confusion go. Let it slip out of your hearts. And let the silence become the river. And let the silence become the river. Let the silence become the river.
Let the sounds become the river. Let's just take a moment of silence right now so that our hearts are one with Ma Jaya's spirit who's just around us right now. And let's take that moment. Satnam Namaste. And I have to welcome Swami Anjani back to Max. First time here on Max and Friends. Ma Jaya's been here twice. We had her on and her spirit's always here with us. But tonight, we're going to talk about stories being told, and we're going to talk about wild rivers, and we're going to talk about letting go of the pain, and we're going to talk about the 11 karmic spaces and Kashi.org. So welcome, Swami Anjani, to Max and Friends. Namaste.
Namaste, Max. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy that you're here, and I just love that we just had Ma's energy with us in river. So
was that incredible?
Yeah. You see what we do here?
And all of a sudden, whoa.
You see what we do
great.
Here on Max and
I
Friends?
I do.
Hey, Ronan. One quick second, Swami Anjani. Ronan, tell everyone what they're listening to.
LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends.
This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was River, a poem read by Ma Jaya Sati Bhagavati from Kashi Ashram. And now I have with me Swami Anjani. So tell me, Swami Anjani, how's life at the ashram today? You were busy.
Oh, we are busy, Max. You know, since Ma left us nearly 2 years ago, in form anyway, she obviously did not leave us at all, as you could tell by the essence we just felt from what you just played about, Ma speaking about the river. But we have done... Just by walking the talk like Ma always did, we've been carrying on her legacy of all her teachings. You know, we've got the yoga studio is just doing fabulously, doing teacher trainings, classes, workshops, holistic stuff. You know, and the River Fund Feed Everyone program. They're continuing with all the work in Uganda and the Little Hearts Orphanage in India. And I'll get to that information about that orphanage before you go over there, Max.
That's good. Everyone, Kashi.org, go check out the website right now. So you know what we're talking about, familiarize yourself with it, because we're going to talk about some powerful stuff tonight that Ma left in her book, The 11 Karmic Spaces. True. There's also some great ways that you all can get involved with Kashi and donating. And there's some great stuff happening there with farm to table. So we're going to talk about that. So actually, let's get into that. Tell us about the whole the farm to table that you're doing at Kashi.
You know, we started, I think, after Ma passed away, her son Susei and a couple of the other young folks who were raised here came back home, and Susei had told Ma about permaculture, which is a wonderful way of using the land responsibly and using the environment responsibly.
Mm.
And so now Kashi is a leading permaculture education center. So we've been raising our own herbs and vegetables. We've got about 40 chickens now, I think.
And I love it.
Three
and
goats.
You have a big dog, too.
And we got a big dog guarding the three goats. It's true. But, you know, that kind of thing. So that is an amazing – I never thought we would do that, Max. We've been here since 1976. I never thought we would have chickens and goats and such. But it's just – it's amazing what energy it feels like here. I mean, I can't wait for you to come back and see us, you know, now that we're doing all this different stuff.
Now, yeah. I just got a great tweet, and someone said, how do you become a swami?
Oh,
thank you for that tweet, by
your
the way.
Guru says it's time for you to do it. That's what happens. That's what happened to me anyway. It's like, okay, enough fooling around. Time to get serious, girl, you know? Like, okay.
Now, it's true, right? But now I want to talk about Kashi because I'm getting a lot of tweets right now, and people are actually going on the site, and they're looking at it, and there's a little confusion because they're like, we thought it was Hindi, but it's everything.
It's
so tell
everything.
Us about Ma's teaching, which I love, which was when she had the vision of Christ, and he said, teach all ways, for all ways are mine. So
you
tell us about Kashi.
Well, you know, Kashi in terms of interfaith, I mean, mm-hmm. Ma would always say, I'm everything. Now, in 1993, when she went to the Parliament of the World's Religions in Chicago, they were saying, okay, would all the Christians please stand up? So Ma stood up. Would all the Jews please stand up? Ma stood up. Would all the, you know, all the Muslims please stand up? Ma stood up. Would all the Hindus please? So anyway, you know, Yashoda kept trying to pull Ma's sari down. Nope, sit down, sit down. But she's like, you know, I am everything. We all are everything. And I love every religion. She would always tell us how much she loved the way everyone worshiped God in whatever way, even if it was nature, you know, go, you worship the sunrise, you know, all of it, you know, excited her so much.
And now, what was Ma's definition of God?
Oh, you know, when she was growing up, she called God Mac. She would go to the beach. She thought that God was everywhere, and she would always talk to God. And Ma always said that God was the formless.
Mm-hmm.
And yet,
you know, I just saw a wonderful program, and a gentleman was talking about God, and he said, for me to even define God would be an injustice to the souls. And I think that's the way that I'm going with, you know what, God, to even define who God is, who are we? It's just this, it would just give such injustice to the creator of and the source of our existence. Yeah.
It's just beyond. Yeah.
It is beyond.
You know,
now, who is God
things?
To you, Swami Anjani?
What, honey? What
who
is God,
God
to me?
You?
Oh. You know, to me, it's that river that joins us all. That's what it is to me. I mean, I you know, you see it everywhere. Ma would always encourage us to, you know, look in the eyes of a person, look in everything around you, and that's where God lives. That's where God is. God is so huge, like your friend said. I mean, how could you possibly define that wonderful essence that created and lives in all of us, you know? But I think recognizing our own divinity is the best we can do down here. I think until we complete that merge, which we can do while we're still living, which is one of the things I love about Hinduism and some of the Eastern philosophies, is that you don't have to die to merge with God.
Mm.
That happens, you know, when we become ourselves, I think. And so,
yeah, you know, I love the quote, when I search for God, I found myself.
That's what Ma always said. When I searched for God and I found myself. And, it, you know, however you want to define it, it's that heart space that you feel. It's that connection that you feel to yourself. And
your authenticity.
Every part of creation, you know?
Yeah. You know, and it's what's authentic to you, because that's what I love about Kashi. It's what resonates with you.
Right.
And then you can go there, and whatever resonates with you, there's a place for you, which
totally
is the best part of it all.
Totally true. And like you said, Ma, you know, she was doing her breath to lose weight. And she, you know, Ma always concentrated on everything and was able to rid her mind of thoughts and expectations and was totally in the moment, and that is when the Christ first appeared to her. And she was like, "You've got the wrong house. I'm Jewish."
So was he.
You know, exactly. Exactly. Like, what do you think I am, you know? But he said to her, "Teach all ways, for all ways are mine." Yeah. And we've always
I'll never forget that. I will never forget that, because it's so true. And I think that once we digest that and once we let that resonate is the point where we can embrace everyone.
I think that's so totally you couldn't say it any better than that.
You know, and without judgment and without the vibrations of negativity and just we all are, you know, to say we are all one, we hear it all the time, but to understand that whoever we choose to surrender to, just accept it. And I think love one another. And it just makes everything so simple. But then our ego gets in the way, doesn't it, Anjali?
It gets in the way, you know. I mean, that was what was so amazing about how when Ma first started teaching us, Max, because you know, she found Akashi in 1976. And, you know, her first thing, it was always by example. It was always, she was a real in-your-face guru. She was always doing things by example and saying, look, here's how you serve. Here's, you know, you have to serve. The fastest way to God is through service. And she would show us. You know, how did she tell you how we started our school in 1979?
Yes.
Did you hear that story?
Yes.
Well,
you know, let's just go back because my involvement with Akashi, so everyone knows, just so we get on the record, is that there was a lot of paths that led to Akashi, let's say. One being my grandmother, one being a friend, and one being the book. And then finally I said, you know what? I moved to Florida. So all these paths just led to Akashi for me.
Yeah.
And I reached out to you, I remember, and I said, I would love to interview Ma. And then you all extend the invitation. You said, well, we would love for you to come up to Akashi. So we drove up to Sebastian, Florida, and we had the privilege and also the humbling aspects to sit at Ma's feet and just chat with her and not chat for like 10 minutes. Cause I remember when we were there, everyone was excited that, you know, Ma was going to get ready to do a puja and everyone is there. And all of a sudden here we are. And Ma's like, I want to talk to them.
Right, she did. She loved you the minute she saw you. I want to talk to Max. It was like, okay.
And I remember Ma goes, what do you want from me? I said, nothing. I just want to be in your presence. And then she's like, this is the first time that someone's not asking for something. I said, I just want to be by you, because just that energy, that vibration that she had, I absorbed quickly. And, you know, I didn't know Ma for a very long time, because when we had her on the show here, it was the first time we ever recorded a show, because we're always live here. So and we just had this synergy. It was going, the energy, the momentum, that we ended up doing a two-part recorded special, and we recorded it in December, and then we released the show shortly after. And at the same time we released the show was the news that Ma had pancreatic cancer.
Correct.
So it was just like the timing, even though it was so short in my life to experience Ma's presence, the amount of time was needed for me to explore my purpose. And I really believe that Ma opened up a lot of doors and a lot of visions for me to see where I'm supposed to be in life, and also to embrace everyone through all religions. For a testimony for myself, Anjali, I don't think you really knew all of this, but you know, I grew up Catholic, and then I was a born again Christian, and then I was like flirting with everything, Buddhism and Hinduism, and then I just decided one day I'm going to call myself a Jukaboo. And that was before I met Ma. Right? That was before I met Ma. So here I am, I'm a proclaimed Jukaboo, right?
Got it.
And then I meet Ma, and I'm like, you know what? I can explore everything, embrace everything, and just let it resonate. So that's my history with Akashi. That's why it's so dear to me. And that's why I want to share it with everyone, because it's really this place where you can just go and be yourself. And there's acceptance all around you. And there's just this vibration of love that it's on the ground. It's the foundations of that. It's 75 acres. And it's just the vibrations of love literally grow through the grass and through the trees and through the lakes and through the rivers and everything that's there. You just feel this wonderful connection to humanity, to spirit, to God, to life, to love. And that's why I love Kashi. And that's why Swami Anjani is here tonight, because we're going to talk about the book.
We are. And, you know, I want, you know, that interview you did with Ma, you said, first of all, we'll do a half hour, and then you guys, neither one of you could stop, and then it was an hour.
Right.
Oh, well, we have to do another hour. And it just kept going on and on. And I'll tell you what was special about it. You know, for me, just watching her respond to you and the way, you know, it happened, that was, you know, that was her last interview. She was diagnosed, like, I think it was January 13th, I believe, and then on April 13th, she passed away. But you were the last interview that she did. And we had them lined up. We had a number of people that were going to interview her because of the book. And that was it. You know, but I mean, just the way we all feel about you, you're like our brother, you know, and just
the way
that happened, I was so grateful that interview happened, really. I know Ma
wasn't
feeling well, and she did it anyway. She was not feeling well, and she didn't even know what she had. She didn't know she was sick at the time. She just didn't feel
and
well.
The blessing of doing Max and Friends is that we have it recorded. We have it in archive. And this is what I'm going to do, because, you know, I'm traveling. So for the next two Sundays, everyone, we're going to do the replay of Ma being on Max and Friends. So if you missed the replay, because we've done it again, we're going to do it again for you this Sunday coming and the following Sunday, the two-part series with Ma Jaya Sati Bhagavati from Kashi Ashram. So you're not going to miss it. You're going to know who we're talking about. And we're going to just – there's a saying that I love that says, every time you say my name, my spirit shall live. And that's why we're going to play Ma, because we need her spirit to live. As we're talking about spirits to live, we need ours to kind of align with each other's. And let's talk about the ego, because the book, The 11 Karmic Spaces, you can get it on Amazon.com. There's a chapter about ego and self-thought and self-indulgence. And these are things that Ma talked about, the chatter, the clutter in our brain, the ego that destroys us. How do we get rid of it, Anjani? Do the teaching. Do the teaching.
well, you know, just to give an example of, you know, first of all, the way the book is structured, you've got that. It's like Ma talks about the karmic space, and then she talks about things connected to it, and then the graces that help you get out of that space. And then there's stories from students. This is for each of the 11, right? And then you get practices for letting go, for meditation, journal, action, all that kind of stuff. So it's beautifully organized. It is so user-friendly and so non-pedantic and non-preachy. Mm-hmm. It's just the best.
And just real. It's like
totally real.
Calling a thing with love.
Exactly. So like in the ego self-thought, I mean, Ma was talking about how, you know, when your ego is in charge of you, it just keeps telling you that you're the most important thing in the universe. So everything that happens revolves around you. Like, you know, it's all about you kind of thing. So one of the things I loved about that chapter was when Ma gave, because it's so easy to hurt other people when you're in that space, right? So she gives an example about when she was a young mother herself, and she had three kids, and her daughter, one of her daughters, wanted to go on a sleepover at a friend's house. So, you know, it was like wintertime. You know, you have the heat on, you know, the furnaces and all that stuff. So Ma, you know, wanted to let her go because she loved the other children and the family and all, but something about it, she said, no, I'm not going to let you go. Well, as it turned out, the furnace blew up and the three kids were killed in that house.
Oh, my goodness.
And her daughter did not go. So she was devastated. Everybody in the house was killed, not just the kids, in the middle of the night. So she was completely devastated. She couldn't get past the feeling how fortunate she was that her children hadn't been there at the same time, feeling horrible, because how could she be happy about that, because the other kids were killed. But meanwhile, it became all about her and her feelings in that moment. So right in the middle of all this, talk about the universe giving you a lesson, right in the middle of all this, one of the neighborhood kids called her up and said, Ma, I have a butterfly in my house. I have a butterfly. It's winter. I saw a butterfly, and it's in my house. So Ma says, listen, honey, I can't do this right now. The child says, but I have a butterfly. Ma said, honey, really? And she hung up on her. And she, of course, you know, was just still caught in all her own pain about what had happened. But she made it about her pain. That was the problem. After a while, the little girl's mother called her and said, what did you say to her? She's still crying. And then it hit Ma. She went, oh, my God, I killed her butterfly by indulging my own emotions. So she called her back. She said, please tell me about the butterfly. I'm really sorry. I really want to know. So then the little girl just told her all about it. And so Ma, you know, she said that was one of her main teachings. Don't ever step on somebody else's butterfly. She even had one tattooed on her hand. So she.
But how do we do that? How do we do that?
How do we do it? I think what you said, remember you said earlier something about staying aware, staying in the moment, and that's the only way to do it, is to, and it's practice. It's practice. I mean.
Well, I always say we're free from the past and we're free from the future. All we have is right now.
Exactly.
But how do we get people to get the mind frame and the vibration of being in the now where there we become non-judgmental and where we where we don't kill someone's butterfly?
Exactly.
How do we do it?
How do we do it? It's practice. And that's all it is. You know, to me, unless we're willing to work on ourselves individually, you know, we're never going to get there. So that work involves it's like an investment. You're investing in your own godliness. You're investing in your own awareness of your divinity. And when you get that inside yourself, you're not going to indulge in a lot of thoughts and in a lot of stuff like that gets in your way. So you practice. It's meditation. You concentrate. You one of the ones Ma loved to give was Thich Nhat Hanh's mindfulness lessons, right? I'm mindful. I'm aware right now. I'm aware I'm breathing in. I'm aware I'm breathing out. And it may seem a little tedious, a little annoying, but if you start meditating and just focusing on your breath, if you're really, really concentrating, God has a chance to slip in there and make you aware of your connection. It has a chance if you can just stop the chatter. And you can let the thoughts go by. I mean, Ma always say, oh, say it's just a thought or say it's thinking.
Thoughts are just thoughts, Ma used to say. Thoughts are just thoughts.
They have no root. They're just
But now
thoughts.
Let me ask you, because people think that the mind has to be completely still in silence for meditation. Is that true?
No. The mind could chatter all you want. You just learn to ignore it.
And, you know, you said I am, and I always say whatever follows I am will find you. So when you're in that meditation, if you're I am distracted, you will be distracted. But if you say I am in the present, I am in the moment, I am in the breath of life, I am in the now, you'll find yourself there instead I'm stressed, I'm this, I'm that. Whatever follows I am will find you. So keep that in mind. The 11 karmic spaces we're talking about tonight on Max and Friends with Swami Anjani from Kashi.org. It's Majaya Sati Bhagavati's book. The 11 karmic spaces, choosing freedom from the patterns that bind you. We're talking about the ego, self-thought, and self-indulgence. Swami Anjani, the indulgence,
mouthful,
self-indulgence. I know, 6 years, man. the self-indulgence.
Yeah.
What, darling? Tell me.
No, I was going to say that I know you're aware that since you interviewed Ma, that this book received a National Book Award, right?
Well, we were going to talk about that. It did.
Independent
and I know
publishers.
Why it did. Yeah, and why it did is because when you call a thing and when you tell people they got to do their work, because Ma, she did not beat around the bush. She told us a thing was a thing.
Yep.
And that's
like
what this book is. It's this book is that. But and the book will continue to become super popular. That I just know. And that's why I want to just continue to promote it and talk about this chapter and chapters in it. I'm definitely going to have you back so we can talk about more chapters in the book. I'm getting a sign that I might have to wrap up in a second, but that's
good.
Just how time goes. But before we go, you know, because we're talking about the ego and self-thought and self-indulgence and how that just, you know, it's like venom. Once it gets into our system, it kind of like takes over. So we're talking about breaking that bondage of it. So can you just give us another great teaching of how we can get the mind to kind of rid self-indulgence and self-ego?
There's one thing that Ma talked about with that, with action, she would say, change something, change one thing. Oddly enough, it might seem like this doesn't make much sense, but it really does. You change one thing and connect it to service. So if you're tied up with taking care of others and you see that somebody needs something, not what you think they need, but what they actually need, change something. Change something in the room. Move the vase for the sick person or, you know, for yourself. Take a look inside yourself. Okay, what am I going to change today? I know I feel sluggish when I do X or Y. Because the more we indulge in ourselves, we get that depressed, sluggish feeling. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the I am thing, don't complain. Stop complaining. Because the more you complain, the universe is really good about reflecting back. Oh, you must be complaining because you like to complain. Let me give you some more shit to complain about.
That's right.
am I allowing a thought to grow a root? Am I watering it by allowing it to expand and grow? I mean, these are all practices for letting go. Meditate on the mindfulness of the breath. Write about your thought patterns and realize, wait a minute, am I really making this all about me? Am I sitting in that thought instead of helping somebody else or instead of helping myself by meditating and finding out who I really am? It's work, you know, and it's practice, but it can be very joyful.
And we've got to do our work. And on that note, let go of all the pain, people. Let go of all the confusion, like Ma said in River in the poem, because when we let go, we really find out who we are. And when we search for God, we find ourselves. So on that note, let's search for ourselves this week. Let's take life to the max. If you're in Florida, visit Kashi Ashram.
Visit
Tell them
Kashi.
I sent you.
Visit Kashi.
Go to kashi.org for more information. I've got to say thank you so much to my guest, Tom, and his book, Airstreaming. Tan Shabram, love the book. It's a good book about airstreaming. And of course, Swami Anjani, I bow to you. Namaste. And so I just send all my love to everyone at Kashi. And just let the fruit just continue to bear, because the ashram is just a bearing ground. It's got so much richness of love there, and you guys, you give it. So that's why it comes back to you.
Touch your feet, Max, and it's brilliant that you're going to be having Ma talk again, because nobody explains the book like she does. And
that's right.
It was great. All 2 hours of it was fabulous. So all you folks out there, don't miss it, because you're in for a real treat.
That's right. So we're going to be playing the Ma Jaya interview again this coming Sunday. I will be in Italy. I'll be turning 35. My fellow Aquarians, all. Anjani, I'm going to call you after the show.
Valentine's Day
I know,
is your
right?
birthday.
I'm going to call
exactly
you after the show.
Exactly 2 weeks later.
It is. And I send you birthday wishes early, but I'm going to talk to you after the show. I got to wrap it up. I love you, Swami Anjani from Kashi Ashram, everyone. Ronan, thank you so much for being
you,
here. Love you, too. I'm going to talk to you after the show. Ronan, thank you so much. Nelson, thank you so much. Everyone, take life to the max. Love each other and just breathe. And remember, thoughts are just thoughts. I'm traveling, so stay tuned for Max and Friends, because when I'm back, we've got Jackie Collins. We've got so many amazing guests coming on. Love you all for listening. Have a great week and take life to the max. Good night.